You'll turn with me to Isaiah 30. That was rather serious. In our singing, I hope it'll be a profit and help to you and not come back in the day of judgment to condemn you. That goes for me also. Serious request that you ask. I left here Sunday, worn out mentally and physically, and rather empty spiritually. And I don't know that I'm over any of those. And I kept thinking, well, I guess it's good that we don't have an assistant, because I'd have probably left it with him for 3 or 4 months. And then that might have been what you wished I'd do. Just leave it with someone for that length of time. But I sat around thinking before the Lord, Lord, you let Elijah go hide himself when Israel had no rain. And yet we're still going, and there's been no rain. Deuteronomy 32, the Lord said his word should drop its rain, and his speech shall distill as dew. Now you given the right climate, rain is going to produce. How long has it been since any of heaven's moisture has fallen upon your heart to enliven it? How long has it been since the Word of God became His voice to your soul? And from that moisture from above, His plants begin to blossom. He came into the garden. The garden of spices to gather out and to see how it was doing. And he's not making too much of an inspection upon us. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. First three that within me. Second three, that from me to the Lord's people, to people in general as I have opportunity. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, extending from me. Faith, meekness, temperance. The last three extend to God. That is called the fruit. I, looking at them, we'd call them the fruits. The serious thing, dear children, that the fruit of the Spirit of God might be growing, increasing, developing. Because a farmer plants the corn for one purpose, for the harvest. He doesn't plant it to watch it grow, though they might delight in that. He doesn't plant it to cut it under. He plants it to obtain fruit from it. You put out your plants in a few weeks, some of them. You put it out for the purpose of them maturing, and you benefiting from your labor. That's God. They must all come to fruition. You must be growing and developing within, without, to those around you, and upward towards God. I ask you again, how long has it been since you talked with God? Oh, I did that this morning. No, are you sure you did? You might just have been talking to yourself. How long has it been since there, within your consciousness, there was an awareness of the being of God? I know I am speaking with God. I know that Christ is present. How long? And I have no plans of doing this, but I wonder if it would make a difference if we shut the doors for 6 months. Would it increase a desire for them to be open again? Would we take more seriously the next time we had opportunity to sit down? the best any of us can do. You get accustomed to some things and you begin taking them for granted. And we pretty much just got accustomed to our service. And we don't have heaven's rain. And we're just about all drying up. You say, you sure are negative tonight. No. You sure are on a pessimistic point of view tonight. No. That's just where we are. It's not only you. It's a daily battle with me. Trying to find God. And it is such a heavy load to try to pray. And I don't know how much of the Spirit we have helping us in this day. All right, Isaiah chapter 30. I want to do tonight that which is rare for me. And let's look at many verses. I usually just look at one and go from there. But I want to look at several this evening. As God, through the prophet Isaiah, you remember in Isaiah 6, don't turn back, just stay here with me in Isaiah 30, but you remember in Isaiah 6, when God has brought Isaiah down to an awareness of who he is within himself. And you see there what true repentance is. True repentance is not me repenting for what I have done, though that is necessary. But the truest of all repentance is repenting for who I am. For what I am undone. And he does that before the Lord, and Isaiah's sitting there, and he hears, and you've gotta almost believe that it is the Trinity talking, God the same. Who shall I send? Who will go for me? And he wasn't asking the question to Isaiah. Isaiah was just listening. And he overheard God. Who shall I send? And Isaiah volunteered. Here am I. Send me. Will you volunteer? For a service in the Lord's kingdom? I don't know what it might be. Will you? Will you pray that the Lord might send laborers into his vineyard? I mean, the fields are white. I don't know how much we might be able to harvest. I don't know. Seems like very little, if any, right now because of the lack of the Spirit of God dealing with any. But whether he does or whether he doesn't, that doesn't take away from us the responsibility to be in his service and seek out what he'd have us to do. Well, here in Isaiah chapter 30, God is again speaking through Isaiah to an elect nation. A people that had the highest of all the privileges of any nation that has ever been on earth. Paul lists them out. They had the tabernacle, they had the temple, they had the priests, they had the offerings. They had all these types. And yet it comes to the sad conclusion, yet with most that were in Israel, they were not of Israel. They were not a true Jew, not one in the scriptural sense, circumcised by God. In a nation so highly favored of God, and yet most never heard what God had to say to them. So here he is speaking to a nation that he has privileged down through the centuries to give them everything that he has given them, from the prophets to the priests to king to his service of the lamb slain, the offerings, the turtle doves, the oxen, whatever they might be. And yet it did not profit them. And would you think me too negative to say it is not profiting us today? We can sit here and a thousand things will occupy or pass through our minds. One of the most annoying and disrespectful, unkind things that's ever happened to me while preaching was having a man sit near the back clipping his fingernails. And the whole crowd could hear every snip. Well, we're not that rude. But I wonder if we're trimming our nails. Not with clips or clippers or a file. God's provided much grace for us, dear folks. As he did for the nation of Israel. And here, verse number 1. The message of God to them: woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me. We've got more counselors today And the old saying, and I don't even remember them, I just remember the old saying the older folks used, and Carter had liver pills. More counselors, and we'll take just about anybody's advice as long as it does not run contrary to the way I want and to the way of my feelings. But you let somebody come along and give us counsel that runs contrary, runs roughshod over our feelings, and we're just about going to throw that off. They take counsel, but not of me. Now hear the false prophets. And one of the things that in our day gives the false prophets such an advantage is that we are a people prone to judge things by numbers. And if the larger number believe this, we credit it as being right. But the cause of God has always been in the minority. One man believed God and moved with fear and built an ark. And the crowd, everybody else, went opposite. And you let one stand alone and he automatically is discredited, or you let a crowd be really small, you don't have any credit out there as far as religion's concerned. They take counsel. God's always had but few sent ones to proclaim truth, and there's always been a great multitude of false ones. And God's determined it to be so, because if you can be deceived, God will make certain that you will be. They take counsel. It's not mine. They cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. It's not the Spirit of God that is granting peace within, or having raised, given, raising up an abiding faith to continue believing in the Lord Jesus. It's not the Spirit of God that's provided most of covering in this day. It's their feelings. You can go to a song service and you let right notes be reached, and it will stir you inwardly, and a lot of folk take that as the Spirit of God. They'll have a great shouting time because a bunch of folk got stirred emotionally involved, and it was nothing more than the flesh, and they call it the Spirit of God. They cover themselves, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Now verse number 8. Now go write it before them in a table, and note it in a book. Let's get all this written down. and the books will be opened. And we all will give an account of this evening. Note it in a book. I don't always do this, but I put forth an effort. Now, I josh with you and cut up with you. But when I'm serious with you, I put forth an honest effort to be accountable before God for words and actions. Because every word, every deed, every action that is not what it ought to be in the sight of God, I don't want it raised against me at the judgment. Well, I'm going to heaven. Well, if that's all you're concerned about, you can rest assured you're not going. You're not in yet. Note in a book that it may be for a time to come. Forever and ever. And just so all these folk that God shut their eyes, that Isaiah preached to, all these things are written in their minds. And it's like an old 33 or 45 record. It just keeps playing over and over and over again. And you can't get it out of your head. That's the worm that does not die. He told me to be more careful. He warned me. And throughout the endless ages of time, there's no such thing as ages in eternity. No such thing as a second, an hour, a day, a week, a month, a year. It's all gone. And you are stuck where death found you. And this record, God said, you write it, that it be for a time to come. And when that time comes, when the thoughts and intents of every man's heart's made known, then it'll be forever and ever. Not going to wipe the slate clean then, dear ones. You want to face God with your one sin unconfessed? One, just one. That is a known sin. We don't know what lurks in our hearts, but I tell you this, who would ever have thought Abraham, the father of faith, would have lied? Or the great psalmist of Israel would have ever committed murder? But it was in his heart all along. Or who could have ever imagined that the wisest man that's ever been would have ended up in life the way he did. Solomon. They never thought that. David said, I heard the Lord and God was pleased to hear me and he made my mountain stand strong. And then two verses later he says, and he hid his face from me. Well, David, there you go down. But the ages roll on and on and on, and I'm stuck in 2016. God help you that it not be, what's today, the 18th, 17th January. God help you that it not be this night throughout eternity. Forever and ever. Verse 9, that this is a rebellious people. Lying children that will not hear the law of the Lord. No matter what I do, makes no difference. God said, they're not going to hear me. And said, because you shut your eyes and you stopped up your ears, he said, you can count on me to finish the process. I'll shut your eyes and I'll stop up your ears that you can't hear. You won't hear. Which say to the seers, see not. And to the prophets, don't tell us these bad things. Don't tell us these negative things. Talk to us in a more positive outlook. What you see, don't share with us. We got enough just dealing with life as it is. To the prophets, would you be kind enough to us, they asked, to speak smooth things, not right things, not things we need to hear, because I've got a lot of living left to do. And God's requiring a lot of me, and I'd like to wait a while to get all this straightened out. Prophesy lies and prophesy deceits. And the American preachers found out, if you want to build a church, then you got to do it this way. You are the sweetest, kindest, lovingest people. Most dedicated people. And they're talking to a building full of any and everything but the children of God. Now, folk, I wouldn't trade you for any congregation in the world. And I think highly of you. But that doesn't give me the right to bypass hard, truthful facts. And to deceive you. I got enough within me to give an account before God. And sometimes there's sleepless hours thinking about those that I had a chance and maybe didn't preach the fullness of truth to them that I should have. And I know there's a great number of them that did not make it into heaven that I preached to in these past 46 years. Got enough to give an account for me. Don't need any more added. Because I was unfaithful to your souls, wanting to tickle your ears and pat you on the back and congratulate you for all the fine accomplishments that you have done in your walk with the Lord. All you've learned. I'm glad that you know what you know, but you do not know enough. I don't. I trust that you know the Lord experimentally, which is what the word know in John 17:3 means, by experience. I trust that you know him by experience. And if you do, there is a gnawing pain within called hunger that you might press on to know him. Just lie to us. To those of you looking after our souls, quit, they said, say not. And to those of you that are on the mission as a prophet, would ye water down your message so that it is not too offensive? Don't tell me right things. Tell me things I want to hear. Speak unto us smooth. And the word of God is compared to a hammer. It's compared to a fire. And God will use the word as a file to rub off all the roughness of you. But we don't like that. I don't like it. And would you use a butter knife and spread this on smoothly of what you tell us? Even if you have to deceive us. Verse 11, get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel. And how under heaven an individual can get that low. To ask that the seer and the prophets causes the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Folk, our condition was like this before we ever got here. All we're trying to do is plead with the Holy One of Israel to come back into our midst. And this crowd wants him to cease from before us. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be unto you as a breach ready to fall. You ask for it, this is what you want. And we're not brave enough to verbalize this to anybody, much less verbalize it to God. But I was aware all the time that I was thinking, well, that the Lord let Elijah off the hook when there was no rain. I was aware that my thinking was in the sight of God. I was not without a God consciousness. I knew I wasn't hiding it from Him. No more than you are hiding your thoughts. I mean, God knows you. God knows you down to the very core of your being. He knows what makes you tick. He knows what makes you do what you do. God said, that's the way you want it? All right. This will be to you a breach ready to fall, swelling out a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. I know it's God's business, and I'll leave it up to Him. But I don't have to preach any of your funerals, because all of you are younger than me. But it cometh suddenly, at an instant. And verse number 14 and following is what I had intention on getting to this evening. But I'm going to close it out with verse 14. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a sherd to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. Now Jeremiah 2:13, God said, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. One place you're going to get a drink. And they have hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water. How much do you get away from here with by tomorrow morning of the Word of God? Could it be that God already has burst your sherd and it won't hold any water, and you come to the pit, and the father sent the children down to the pit to get water, and they came back with a parched lips and swollen tongue and empty pitchers? Oh, my soul. That's about where we are. They've hewn them out, cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water. And we about lose it as quickly as we get it, because we've got so many blasted devices in our lives. But we've got to keep them all going. This is not any of you, though you might be guilty of the same. Somebody was telling me, I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on Twitter accounts. You're not going to find me there. Somebody was telling me of a young lady that said, I got up this morning and got my shower and got ready, and now I'm fixing me a piece of buttered toast. And then I head off to work. I thank good Lord, it's all about you. And that fills up our time. It could be God's already broken your vessel and it won't hold any water. Or you've carved out your own vessel. It wasn't out of the right material. And you got a leaky one. I didn't have a title. I didn't have an outline. I didn't have anything down. But this is what I wanted to deal with tonight. The children's hope. And John, if you've got to take a verse, it'll be verse number 20. Just title it, The Children's Hope. And Lord willing, Lord willing, if He'll help. And I gave up sometime this morning on getting anything down to bring to you. But I wasn't rattled or disturbed within. Even if all I did was get up and read and dismiss you. Which reminds me, I think it was John Knox. And those old men, they wouldn't go to the pulpit till they had a word from God. And those crowds used to gather to hear that giant of God's messengers. And they waited and they waited, and finally he made his appearance and stepped behind the pulpit, and he said, "Dear children, would all of you stand? We will be dismissed. God has given me no utterance today." And that just about shut down every church building. If the preachers wouldn't get up till God had given them utterance. I don't know if His utterance tonight has touched your soul. I don't know. That's, again, none of my business. That's the Lord's. But you're going to have to walk out of here knowing that you either have contained a little of the water of God's Word, or you got nothing. May the Lord have mercy on all.